950 KMAN.
I just want to let you know, Dave, there were some silent cheers of joy in regards to your forecast and the high, relatively high temperatures.
You know, this is not high. This is just better than what we've had.
I added the relative.
There's a different, yeah. The word relative somehow seems insufficient. I mean, if you're going to really get excited, let's wait till we get to 60, baby. My God. We're talking... You know, it's been a long time. You know, we've been in a frozen tundra for too long when we're fired up about it being 50.
Break out the sunscreen.
Yeah, I'm not going to wait around until May when it gets to 60 degrees. So I'll take solace and joy in the temperatures we have today.
You know, I tell you what, we're not going to know how to handle it.
I don't know.
I'm that whole world with sunny skies and warm temperatures. That's like a forgotten thought.
Yeah, I think the world might fall apart a little bit. It might. Maybe I'm being a little alarmist.
Or it could just come back together.
It's a good point.
It could all fall back in together because, you know, if it warms up, then the theory is that things turn green.
Oh.
And I'm not talking about, you know, things in the refrigerator. I'm talking about things that are outside in the lawns and the landscape and the pastures and the forests and the plains and the prairies.
I've forgotten what that looks like, Dave.
We all have.
Well, on that cheery note, I'm Nick McNamara here on In Focus on News Radio KMAN. Brandon Peoples, clearly not in the room with me. He's taking a little break. He'll be back in here at the bottom of the hour to talk with the Governor's Military Council Executive Director, Perry Wakens, currently in studio with me, and BAF Director of Partnership Development, Dr. Marty Veneer, and Coordinator for USDA AFIS, Dr. Ken Burton. Thanks for coming out.
You bet. Good morning, Nick.
And aside from our short tangent about the weather in the beginning of the program, it is also 22 days until the City of Manhattan flag contest comes to an end. And I've been following that closely. If you're partaking, you're going to have to compete with me, just to let you know. But I wanted to start off just, have you been thinking about possibly an NBAF-themed flag to submit? Well, maybe you could have your own NBAF flag, but maybe submit it and see if the city will take it on.
Well, that's a good point. I can't say that either one of us were aware of the flag contest, but, you know, we do have an NBAF logo, so right away we've got something to start with. And interestingly enough, we were in a meeting yesterday where we were actually overlooking the back side of the facility, and there's like a large space, exterior wall space, and we had someone suggesting that maybe there be a prairie scene painted, you know, on that large expanse of exterior wall, because it really does kind of, you don't see anything except that big wall. So maybe we could, you know, have a mural done or something so that all the folks who are up there on the hill and are looking out over the site would see this lovely mural rather than an industrial-looking building. So
it could be a good idea. It could be a good idea.
It could be another contest.
Oh. I think we're on to something here.
Just saying. Yeah.
Well, moving on from flags, we're here to talk about NBAF. As much fun as I'll talk about flags all day if you give me the chance, but we're here to talk about NBAF for those of you unfamiliar. NBAF, the National Bio and Agro Defense Facility, $1.25 billion facility, replacing the Plum Island facility in New York. And I can talk a little more, but remind us a little bit about some of the completion dates for construction as well as when the plans are for it to be operational.
Okay. So a review of the timeline, we expect construction to finish in December of 2020. There will be a slightly our next gate will be the finish of commissioning, which is the testing of all the systems. Now, that actually has started now with systems that are already in the building, and it follows along with construction. We're hoping that commission finishes in about May of 2021, so that's our second gate. And then the third gate is, at that point, Ken can address more of the details here, but then the third gate is achieving select agent registration so that agents for research can come into the building and research can begin. And then once all that permitting is in place, then samples reference samples that are currently stored at Plum Island will then come to NBAF. And at that point, the transition will be fully complete, and that should be 2023.
And as you were saying, a lot of the construction ongoing is within the building, a lot of internal systems, or maybe that was just what I was thinking. But as such, I don't imagine you had much trouble as a result of all of this wonderful weather we've been having.
We got really lucky. We've actually been really lucky through the entire four-year process. But yes, we got really lucky. The building has been essentially weather-tight since about November. So the central utility plant is now up and running 24/7 to heat the interior, because most of the work now, the building is now weather-tight. So what you see outside is just putting exterior finishes on, and then there's tons and tons and tons of work inside, installing equipment and hooking things up and starting to, you know, run some things and test them and all of that.
Is there one new piece of equipment that's come in that is maybe most interesting?
Well, for me, there are a lot of things that are really interesting. Liquid waste, the EDS system, which is the liquid waste decontamination system, there are 11 7,500-gallon tanks that just decontaminate liquid waste. And part of that is redundancy. We can run on like 7, 8, or 9 of them and have 2 in reserve. And you sort of assume that, you know, there may be one on standby mode, one that's either down for repair or maintenance, and then you've got all the others that are running. So you always have that sort of extra, you know, that X percent extra for redundancy. So those tanks are gigantic, and the space when it was open, I mean, you could have had a football game in there. The space was so dang big. But now with these 11 tanks in there, you can hardly walk through the space anymore. So that was interesting. The tissue digesters are interesting. They're basically 2 stories high.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So they're 2 stories high. The incinerators, we have medical waste incinerators that are like, would be the size of a couple of semi-trailers, like stacked on top of each other. Imagine like a cargo container or 2. So they're ginormous.
And for those,
they're just ginormous.
For those really big pieces of equipment, I might be asking you a question that's a little bit outside of your realm of specialty, but do they have to take those apart to transport them over there, or do they bring them all in one piece? I know I've seen some really big pieces of equipment on the back of trucks, but do they usually disassemble these, or do they just bring them all in already together?
It depends on the thing. Like the EDS tanks, those 7,500-gallon tanks came in as whole tanks. I'm sure that the tissue digesters probably came in pieces. The incinerator, I'm sure, came in pieces. The interesting thing for like a lot of the conduit and ductwork and piping, all of that stuff, because the plans were so detailed that all of that stuff was fabricated off-site and then tagged and marked. So it became like Legos. You know, you knew what piece hooked up to what piece in what room. So they were fabricated elsewhere and hauled in pieces and then put in the building and like stored in their relative locations. And then when it came time to hook everything up, you knew, you know, these 3 pieces go in this room in this orientation, you know, tab A goes into slot B kind of a thing. And so everything was identified and it was just all kind of put together. So it was really, really cool system.
It's pretty streamlined, it sounds.
Mm-hmm. Very.
Good.
Very.
I imagine that makes things a lot easier on the assembly end, too.
It does.
And I think it is probably about time to head off to our first break of the morning. When we come back, I know, Dr. Burton, you've kind of been sitting here a little bit. I have plenty more questions regarding the transfer of ownership to USDA, some hiring, as well as some talks about some collaboration.
Sure.
So when we come back, we'll get into that here on In Focus on News Radio KMAN.
The KMAN Morning Show is brought to you by the McCain Performance Series.